Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right. It's another week of Comics Talk Comedy. Our guest is here. Just made it. Nick of Time.
That's the name of the guest.
So anyways, Jesse, how was your week?
It was good, man.
I didn't really see you at all.
Didn't make Winston's this week. I was at Twigs last night, which was fun.
I mean, not Twigs.
Yeah. I was at Twigs last Saturday. We did Twigs Saturday.
How did that go?
That went really well. That was really fun. I got to headline it.
Right.
And, it was funny because Andrew Norelli was on that show. Mm-hmm. So he was sort of, I had featured for him a number of times recently.
Right.
And I was kind of thinking, man, he must be really sick of following that stupid beatboxing.
Right.
Closer.
Yeah.
So we're at Twigs and I'm following him and I go, hey man, when you finish with some stupid beatboxing.
Did he even remember?
Yeah. He thought it was funny.
Okay.
So that was a really fun show.
How long did he do?
He did probably 15 minutes.
Okay.
Something like that.
And then I did
about half an hour.
Okay.
In that range. It was really fun.
You know,
it's a little bit like Lestat's in that it's a small room. So
right.
It's packed.
Wasn't too hot this time?
No, it was really fun.
Okay.
Yeah,
That's good.
And, I forgot it was supposed to be clean, so I dropped some F-bombs early on.
Were there any kids there?
No, there was no kids. So I guess that would have been a cue.
Yeah.
To not do that. But I stopped halfway through and it was fine.
Right.
I think they enjoyed it. What else? Did a private party. That was weird.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah. You did it with Harumi, huh?
Yeah, Harumi and Mike Ula and Peter Bandick. We did this private party for a Jewish fraternity house called Moshe House.
All right.
Where this guy organizes these get-togethers.
How did you get that?
I guess they had done it the previous year.
Okay.
Twice.
All right.
They had done it both at a house and in La Jolla. Maybe you guys had it at the store. I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't think it's related to the Jewish summer camp thing, people.
All right.
But in any case, I guess they asked for me, so they might have seen me at that thing because I did all those Jewish jokes.
Right.
So same thing, like I did a bunch of Jewish jokes and not offensive, but
right.
just stuff for them that they would appreciate.
Yeah.
And they love that. Like your material would do pretty good, but then you would just say something Jewish and then they would just love it. You know? So it was really fun. We were only doing 10-minute sets.
Oh, that's cool.
But they set it up really nice. It was like in a living room, but it was so cool to have such an attentive crowd.
Right.
And Peter said something I thought was pretty insightful, which was, They were not all couples. They were like mostly single people. And he was suggesting the possibility that maybe that hurts some of these club shows. People come on dates, sometimes for the first time, and they're a little uncomfortable and they're not sure what to laugh at or what to be seen laughing at.
Mm.
Whereas this whole crowd, you know, none of those inhibitions, they were just laughing.
They were just open to laugh.
Yeah. And so I thought, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, that could possibly be a factor is how many couples are there. I've never heard of that. I thought of that again.
Right. And then last night anyway, you did Tipsy Crow.
Last night was Tipsy Crow with Mal and Matt Bulcheron.
Yeah.
And Kevin Shea.
How was that?
That was really fun. I love that show.
Still haven't done that show yet.
That's an amazing show.
Yeah.
It was a long time for me to get on it. Like, it took a while to get on it.
Yeah. But you've done it a couple times.
Done it a few times. And it's, again, pretty small rooms, about 100 people. So it's like really packed in there. And they pay to play.
Right.
So it's like, once you buy a ticket, you're good. Pretty much a good audience.
How much time did you do?
I did about 12, 15 minutes, something like that.
You open after Mal?
Yeah, Mal opened, but he did his big set at the top. So he did like 30, 35 minutes at the top.
What?
Instead of doing it at the end. He had to do ACC. It was pretty funny. He was on both shows, so he was running back and forth.
Oh, wow.
So he's like doing this thing about, he's doing a bit about black people, white people, and about how he only shits at Nordstrom. Does that make him white? That he's like really picky about bathrooms and he only shits at Nordstrom. So he leaves. I go up and I'm like, well, you know, I don't know how white I am. I've never shit at Nordstrom.
Yeah.
But I do always shit at Taco Bell. That's pretty white. So he leaves. He comes back. He goes, hey, man, if I'm not here, run up, introduce the next comic. So he is not there when it's time. So I like go up to host and, you know, it's that weird thing. They're expecting Mal. It's Mal's show. So I go up and I'm like, I can't say where Mal went. Let's just say that he had to go to Nordstrom. So I had to host like part of the show, which was weird because I never hosted there.
I'm surprised that they would put him on both shows. Like ACC wouldn't allow that. They probably don't. Well, they must know.
They must know.
That's just
they
weird
must know. They're like
conflict of interest.
It is. It's interesting. I didn't know what he was doing, if he was hosting it both. I think he was.
That's weird.
Which is crazy.
I would not want that kind of pressure.
Oh my God. He's running back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, what did
fun.
I do? Tuesday I did the contest at the Madhouse.
How'd that go?
It went really well. I just ripped on the contest and how.
Oh, you were competing on Tuesday?
Yeah.
And you advanced?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I just ripped on the contest and how, like, four of us are going to be happy, six of us are going to want to quit comedy, just goofing off the entire time. But I had a really good set.
That's
and then
awesome.
I saw Trenton Davis.
Oh, yeah, I love him.
I didn't know he was San Diego. I thought he was L.A., but I guess he lives in Marietta, so it's considered San Diego.
Right.
But yeah, he was real polished. And then,
oh, he was in the contest, too?
Yeah, he's in the contest.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, he did well. And then James Schrader and then Curtis advanced, too. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you had that's a really strong round you had.
Yeah, it was Deansy was in it, and Bublitz and Matt Blagg was in it, too.
Wow, so. that's a tough round.
Yeah.
It's so good that you got through.
Yeah, whatever. And then Wednesday,
you don't care. You're like,
I don't care anymore. Wednesday, I did the store. It was good. It was kind of one of those... I don't know if you've seen Steve Simone, probably have, but a lot of times he'll like say, this side of the crowd loves me, this side of the crowd hates me.
Yeah.
That was one, that crowd.
It was that?
Yeah. The whole left side was having a great time. They were like a group of people, like loving everything.
Did they come together?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Pretty much a group. And then the right side, they were laughing, but not as strong. Like it was totally like, I just went to this side after a while, but I did pretty well. Like I was happy with it.
Cool.
Had a good set. And then last night we had Winston's, and it was not as good as it's been, but it was still pretty good.
It looked
last
like it
night.
Was pretty good though.
Yeah.
From what I saw as far as how busy it was.
Yeah. They came in early. Then they started funneling in kind of late.
Uh-huh.
Derek Xavier Cohen brought a decent amount of people.
Wow.
So they kind of left after his set.
Oh, I see.
But, Veronica brought some people. So her and David did all right too.
Okay.
And I did probably like 10.
Uh-huh.
So I did all right.
Danger Stick come in again?
Yeah. He was there.
Nice.
And he did well. He did his, did that Chris Angel Believe joke, and that really hit hard.
Did you get any more crazy stories from him afterwards?
No.
Oh, man.
I laughed at it.
Okay.
But, yeah. But, yeah, he was there, and, yeah, it was cool. It was a good little show.
That's fun.
Further ado, we can bring on our guest who was on the show last night, Emily Allen, everybody.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for coming in.
Yes.
My pleasure. Sorry I made you sweat it.
Oh, that's fine.
No,
at least
you
made it.
Time.
Yeah,
right
you made it. We've had a couple of people that didn't show at all, so it's nice to have you in studio.
Yes.
So, did you have any shows this week?
Yeah, I did. What did I do?
You did Winston's last night?
I did Winston's last night. I had a really fun time there.
Yeah.
The crowd was, sometimes when you do the open mic at Winston's, I think you actually get the better, like, because it's a longer show and it's earlier in the evening
mm-hmm.
when you do the open mic. So people aren't as drunk or they're not as tired or they're not as just like their attention span is still there.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before, like putting ourselves up earlier.
Right. Well, you've actually lucked out. Like you've come, how long have you been in San Diego now?
Like 5 weeks.
Okay,
wow.
Yeah, so you've hit the good Winston's.
So yeah.
I don't know if other people have told you that, but it hasn't.
They have.
Okay.
We've had our ups and downs, but we're on a upswing right now.
This is definitely, like, probably our best month that we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've lucked out.
That's
on
because I'm here.
I guess so. She's a big bringer.
That one. Where did you come from, by the way, that you brought all this good luck to us?
From Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah, from like the West Michigan area.
The West Michigan.
Yeah,
Michigan's huge, by the way.
Right. She had a joke last night where, with her accent, she was telling something about
it. Did she say, please pass the butter?
No.
That's another famous Michigan.
No, but she was doing a joke about condoms, and she said, no repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
But the way with her accent, it said, no rubber cushions, is what I thought she said.
No rubber cushions.
Yeah. I asked her after, but she was like, no, it was just my accent. So that's funny. What brought you to San Diego?
Actually, I came out because my dad lives here. And
is he a Navy man?
He was in the Navy, mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's kind of not why he lives here. He moved out here probably like 18 years ago for a job. And then he didn't have the job anymore, but he didn't want to go back to, you know, the weather and stuff. So.
But I see all those beautiful Michigan tourist ads on TV. I mean, is that not how it is?
Tim Allen, pure Michigan.
Tim Allen, yeah.
Yeah. Michigan is a very beautiful place. Winter or summer.
Nice jerky, too.
It's beautiful.
They have jerky there?
That's all I have, I think, is just jerky.
Oh, that's where you did your little tour.
We have a lot of jerky huts. Yeah, we did a tour there.
You went with Lockwood?
I went with Brandon Young.
Oh, okay.
That's his home state.
Yep, he's from there too.
Oscola or something like that?
Mm-hmm, something like that.
Osceola.
Oscoda?
Yeah.
Oscoda.
Oscoda? Yeah, yeah. There's actually an Osceola too. Uh-huh. There's a lot of Native American names of places in Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all we eat is jerky. We eat jerky. Smoked fish is a thing.
What about wolverines? Is that a big thing?
Do you eat those?
They run, you know, you see them in the yard.
Do you?
No, you don't. You do not at all.
Hugh Jackman's in the yard.
No, they're actually completely endangered. They barely exist in Michigan at all.
Oh, my gosh.
Except for on T-shirts.
Right, and the football team.
Right, really? Exactly.
So you had visited San Diego before, I take it?
Just one time, like right when he moved here.
A long time ago.
Yeah, and it was like 98, 99 when I came down.
Okay.
And I was living in Alaska at the time.
Wow.
So,
beautiful Alaska.
I know. Alaska, Michigan, and then San Diego.
Yeah.
You got cold? Is that what happened? You got a little chilly?
Yeah, last winter was brutal.
And you were in Alaska in the winter?
I was when I lived there 20 years ago. I spent about 5 years up there.
Yikes.
But last winter in Michigan was just the worst, and I decided at that point there was no way I was spending this winter there.
It was worse than Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And then my dad got really sick, and so it was like, oh, I'm hurrying.
Need to come visit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really a comedy decision at all.
No. Okay. No.
Did you research the scene at all?
I did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But that didn't really have anything to do.
No.
Interesting.
So, we're going to find out more right after the break.
Emily
here.
Allen here. You're listening to WS Radio, the worldwide leader in internet talk. I am drunk. Bye.
Good morning.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
Funny about the couch.
Yeah, we are back. We were talking about Chip ripping on Derek Xavier Cohen.
Or what did Chip have to say?
I don't know. I guess Derek was staying at his house for a little while, and he found Derek like sleeping on his couch, like naked.
Wait, Chip found someone sleeping in his...
Found Derek sleeping naked on his couch.
Turn around, fair play.
Yeah, so I can't do it. Like, Chip just ripped, like...
I'm going to go ahead... Yeah. And put some clothes on. That's there. I'm going to just go ahead and sleep naked, right?
Yeah. So his friends really loved it. And Chip had a good set. He closed with a new thing about Bill Cosby having people watch him eat curry.
Okay.
I think. So he was doing some Bill Cosby impression.
I don't see Chip as much anymore. That's cool that he came through.
Yeah, yeah. I guess he was off. Oh, I guess there's this weekend you get a free sidecar ride.
A what?
Free ride from sidecar all weekend.
You mean like alongside of a motorcycle?
No, I guess it's like Lyft or Uber.
Oh, okay.
And they're doing a promotion where you can get free rides.
That's why you saw Chip?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Awesome.
Yeah, I just met him for the first time the other night at ACC.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking with some guys about, they were saying, like, we don't see you, what's going on? And he said it all had to do with transportation. So that's funny that he mentioned that to you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think, yeah. He's around. He's around.
He's still body rolling.
Yeah, he's doing good.
He's doing good. He doesn't body roll anymore. Yeah. But
so how was the comedy scene in Michigan?
Pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. Where I was at, we had
what part of Michigan were you from?
Well, it's like kind of the same area as Lockwood. It's Grand Rapids, and then south of that is a city called Kalamazoo, and then a little bit east of there is Lansing. So there's like those three cities.
And how far apart are we talking here?
They're each like about an hour drive from each other.
Okay.
They have a club in each one of those?
No, there's a really good established club in Grand Rapids called Dr. Grin's. And that one is, yeah, right. Dr. Grin's.
They all have names that are so great.
And that's actually named after a guy who was a doctor who was influential in starting that club. And so they called it Dr. Grin's.
I gotta think that would be a nightmare if you're welcome. The name's Dr. Grin's.
Dr. Grin's.
Open wide.
Shouldn't you be a dentist?
Yeah. I hope that's not his real name.
And no, that was not his real name. Oh. They thought that sounded cute.
Last name, it's Mr. Grin's. You know, he's not really a doctor.
It was actually Dr. Frowns. He gives bad news. So have you performed there at Dr. Grin's?
Yeah. I've performed there on the open mic. They have Their open mic is on Thursday nights. Rather than having a guest spot at the top of the show, the real show on Thursdays, they have a open mic where it's five people do three.
Okay.
And that's their open mic. So I've done that one. And then they have a contest. They have a funniest person contest. It's actually going on right now.
Is it judged by the doctor?
The doctor actually is not with us anymore.
Oh, he's not?
I do not believe he lives at this time. I'm not 100% sure.
At this precise moment.
Tomorrow, we don't know.
The doctor is not in. Okay. I got you. So that's...
Yeah,
that's
big in... crowd. Were there crowds at the open mic?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it was just at the top of the regular Thursday show with the feature and the headliner.
Okay.
So it was, yeah, it was good that way.
Did they get some big-name headliners there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, they get it. Most of the guys that I've talked to that are working comics that come through there say that how much they enjoy that club. And they enjoy the town. They enjoy kind of interacting with our comedy scene there. Because that's one of the differences I've seen from there to here, is that while here, of course, we have four like legit clubs, which is so amazing. And so there's constantly, you know, bigger name people and working people coming through. But the difference is that San Diego is like home turf for a lot of those guys, or at least LA is. So when they're here performing, they don't sort of need to hang out with the local comics because they have their own friends and their own other things happening while they're here. Whereas in Grand Rapids, I mean, it's Grand Rapids, Michigan. Those guys aren't going to have anything else to really do the week while they're there.
Yeah.
So they'll end up hanging out and partying with the local comics afterwards after shows, or like go out for lunch, you know, on Saturday and stuff like that.
Does Tim Allen ever come back and perform and then everybody just shits himself with jerky?
It's a jerky explosion whenever was the Home Improvement TA gets
shot
brought up.
In Michigan?
He's from, it wasn't, was it?
It
might
it was
Michigan.
Not shot there, no. Oh, but
it's placed there, though. I don't get this Tim Allen Michigan.
He's from there.
Oh, okay. He's from there, and he does commercials advertising tourism there to come to beautiful Michigan.
He does pure Michigan ads.
Pure Michigan.
Called Pure Michigan in Hilton.
I think he went to prison in Michigan.
And he went to prison in Michigan, right in Kalamazoo. Yeah.
He went to prison in Michigan.
He went to college in Kalamazoo at Western Michigan.
He called college prison, but.
Okay.
And then after college, went to actual prison.
Right.
For cocaine. Cocaine.
Ah, nice.
Cocaine use.
Is that a big thing in Michigan?
It's on the rise again because the 80s are back now.
Okay.
So I'm noticing that there's a lot more of it around.
That's why comedy's
here too.
Coming back.
Comedy's
that's
on
exactly
the rise.
Why. Yeah. We have to milk this next 5 years, you guys. Well, yeah. This is the 80s of comedy.
That's right.
So how often could you get up?
Well, of course, the difference being there is that you have to have a lot more commitment to it because there's a lot more travel involved. Especially for me, because where I lived was in a rural town, not in any of those three cities. So it was 45 minutes to an hour for me to get on stage no matter what.
So you're like 3 minutes.
Lot of them are five there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This would not be the town for Chip Nicholson to flourish in.
No, he could.
To have to sidecar hours. Yeah.
They don't even have, that's not a thing.
There's no sidecar. Yeah. No.
They do have Uber in Grand Rapids. I found that out.
Oh, that's nice.
That's crazy to me.
So you had a job, I take it, back there?
When I started comedy, I had a full-time job.
Okay.
Which was
working in a nursing home, doing like activities, like life enrichment is what it was called.
Okay.
So leading them in sing-alongs and exercise classes, and you know, I read books to them aloud. I read them
this
all
was your
of
first
the Lord
audience,
of the Rings
right?
books. Yeah,
you did. You read.
Yeah, honestly, working at the nursing home was what inspired me to want to try to get on stage.
That's cool. Did you do Lord of the Rings? Did you act it out? Did you do different character voices?
I would do
voices. You
did. Yeah. And we had a wireless mic.
Oh.
And so I'd have like 30 of them all parked around me, and I'd be reading over the loudspeaker, and the loudspeaker went into the other room where the staff was. So sometimes we'd finish and I'd look out there and there'd be a bunch of staff standing around like listening to. It was hard though, because sometimes I wouldn't realize that a particular character was going to have an awful lot of dialogue, and I would give him like a real gravelly voice And by the end of our reading session, I'd be like, oh, my throat hurts so bad.
Oh, my God. That's funny. Things you do for the crowd.
So once you started doing comedy, you just worked less or you didn't work at all?
Well, it got more and more difficult to sort of be dealing with, like, end-of-life issues all day and then come out in the evenings and try and do comedy. Mm. It just became sort of a cognitive dissonance for me. It was like, oh, boy, I have to bring myself, you know, like sometimes someone that I was real close to would die that day. And then be like, okay, here's my jokes about.
Did it ever happen while you were reading Lord of the Rings? Were you ever like, I'm killing up here. I'm slaying him tonight.
You shall not pass.
So you've been doing comedy how long now?
It'll be 3 years in April.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's, you know, how do you like it out here?
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm so happy because, like we said before the break, you know, I didn't make the decision to come here because of comedy. And in fact, when I first was planning to come to California, initially I thought I would stay in L.A. and then just be closer to my dad so I could spend time.
L.A. for comedy or?
Yeah, like to figure L.A. is the place where you're more likely to get into TV and movies and get into that industry. But then, so the first weekend I got into California, I stayed in L.A. with friends. And I did a couple mics up there and I loved it. Like,
did you really?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, I could see myself there for sure. However, then I drove down here and realized that, like, back home, if you see 100 miles as a distance between two points, you figure hour and a half, hour 40, maybe, you know, going 60, 65 the whole way. And so then I drove down here and it was like 4 hours and 15 minutes to my dad's house. And I thought, oh my goodness, there's no way I'll see him enough. Like, that's the point of why I'm here. And if I'm up there, it'll be that thing of like, oh, not today. Like, I'm tired. And I just wouldn't do it. And so while I was here, of course, I got here right before Christmas. So I thought, okay, well, this distance is an issue for sure. Now what I have to see is what's the comedy like here to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I, came right out. Like, I got here on Monday before Christmas. That Tuesday night, I went out to ACC.
Okay.
And did the open mic.
How was that experience?
Did you get up?
And I did get up, which was cool, you know, because it was like, I realized later, like, that could have easily not gotten up.
Right.
So it
was, did you feel intimidated that first time going up in a new scene?
No, not so much, because I had done a couple of mics, like, on my way here. In Oklahoma City and in Albuquerque.
Okay, so you did a couple of spots when you were driving
and over. Back home, I used to go all over. I would go to Indiana, Ohio. I would go to Chicago. So I was used to just traveling on my own and just going and showing up at places and just looking for the people that had notebooks and being like, is this where, who do I talk to?
How did you like Chicago, by the way?
Is this going out live to the whole nation right now?
Yes. Yes.
I loved Chicago.
Chicago's listening
it was
right
fantastic.
Now.
Stuck.
I take it that you didn't like it.
We do have the lie detector turned on here. It's right by this cough switch. I'll turn it off, though, for this next segment.
It's going heavy right now.
The windy segment.
Wow.
Okay. Well, we're learning things.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to find out about these other cities. Because it was kind of different in each spot, I would take it.
Absolutely.
We'll find out. Coming back. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. Be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Third segment already. It's going by quick.
It is going by fast. Great guest today, Emily Allen.
Yes.
Thank you.
So glad you're here today with us.
So you would travel a lot just to do, like, open mics, or would you get, like, actual shows lined up?
It was a lot of open mics I would travel for because, like, the Detroit area was about a 2 to 3 hour drive from where I was. And so I'd go over there and do mics, you know, fairly often.
You could get a couple in a night?
Not. There's not a lot of that outside of the bigger cities, really.
Well, Detroit's a kind of a big city, I would
imagine. Yeah. Detroit is kind of like, it's spread out. Like, what people consider, they say, Detroit area is not Detroit the city.
Okay.
So, like, there's a club in a city, a part of Detroit called Livonia. And then there's other ones in other parts of the city, but they're pretty far apart.
San Diego's bigger than Detroit?
San Diego's much bigger than Detroit, yeah. I mean, in my feeling, I'm terrible about that kind of stuff.
I don't really know.
We're not going to Google and fact check you on this. You can say anything you want. San Diego's 400 times bigger than Detroit.
San Diego is the biggest city in the land.
Yes.
San Diego also known for cars and motors and soul music.
Detroit is a big fans of, I can't imagine that's very, it seems like that's not a very happy place anyways.
You know, Detroit is actually on the wax, like it is coming back.
Okay.
Detroit is coming back, which I really feel the whole entire nation should be happy about because really, as Detroit and Michigan goes the nation. And Detroit and Michigan are both on their way back. In fact, that's one reason why I felt okay to leave there.
Mm-hmm. You felt like you were holding it together for
keeping it
like
alive.
They were coming back, so I was like, all right, my babies can fly without me now. You know, no, but really when I got there and I moved back to Michigan.
So you were born there? Or?
I was born in Florida, but we only lived there like a year, and I grew up in Michigan. And I left Michigan right after college, like 2 days after college, and moved to Alaska.
What was the?
You were still wearing your cap and gown. You just were out of there.
What was the reasoning to move to Alaska?
Well, you know, you get out of college. It's not like there's.
Was it the weed?
Any sort of. It became the weed, let's be honest. It became the weed. There's no game plan. Like, unless you go to a college where you have a program or a degree where they're going to help you find a job.
Right.
My degree is in writing.
Mine too.
With a minor in philosophy. Yeah. So there's
sociology,
not a lot of,
maybe.
Yeah, there's not a lot of sick ass jobs out there for that. So,
sick ass.
They weren't really helping me. They weren't going to be like, yeah, let's get you talking to some headhunters for your writing degree or anything. So it was like, you know, you can do anything when you get out of college. There's no roadmap. There's nobody tells you, like, this is what you do.
Right.
And so the guy I was with at the time and I just said, well, let's go to Alaska now, because if we wait until we can afford to sort of go there on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be when we retire, like everybody else.
And it'll have melted by them, too. So.
And there will be no Alaska, right? And,
just a big pond.
So was the plan to go there for like a year or two, and you ended up staying like 18 years?
No, I didn't really have a plan. I just was like going there. And I went up there. I was there 5 years in total, almost to the day. And what made me leave, I probably wouldn't have left, except for... the summer before I did end up leaving, like a year before I left, my grandfather came up and stayed with me. And it was cool because he had been all over the world, but he had never seen Alaska. So at 85, I was able to show him Alaska. And I took the whole time off from work. And you know, he was not well. So we would go do touristy things one day and then kind of just hang out the next. And when he left and flew back, I said, okay, he's not coming back here.
Yeah.
And so unless I get to somewhere where I can see him more easily without so much prohibition of cost and time, I'm not going to see him anymore. And my grandmother had passed away after I had left to go to Alaska. And so it was like, oh, all right, yeah, I got to be back in the real United States again. And so at that point, I started looking around. And luckily, I worked for a company that has offices all over the country. So I...
What were you doing?
I was doing, like, brokerage. Like, I worked for Merrill Lynch.
In Alaska?
In Alaska. That's where I started working for them.
So that... What, is that real estate?
No, it's...
That's financial
securities
stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Stocks and
people that want to save all their...
Other instruments, yeah. Yep.
I
and
gotcha. Is there a lot of business up there in Alaska? I mean, what's it like living in Alaska?
There's a ton of wealth up there.
There is?
Yeah, oh...
All that
a lot of Native Americans, I'd imagine.
There's a lot of Native Americans.
Oh, they're just rolling in dough.
And they actually do have a fair amount of money, oddly enough. You wouldn't think.
Well, they have casinos up there?
But they, no.
They don't?
No.
That was a real question.
I don't mean to giggle at you.
What is it, ice fishing money? I don't know.
Their money is oil money.
Oil money?
Oil money. Because it was all Native lands that they built the pipeline across.
Oh, good for them.
And so what happened was each different tribe formed what's called a Native corporation.
Uh-huh.
And so those native corporations are together sort of like the owners of the pipeline.
Are they preventing people from having the oil because they don't want to screw up the land? Or are they like over the whole preserve the land thing, let's sell this oil? What's their angle on that?
You know, for most of the natives that I was with or, you know, had any involvement to, it was like they wanted the money. They didn't really. Yeah. I mean.
Oh, that's too bad.
They obviously, because the pipeline doesn't really affect a ton of the land.
It's just a use of fossil fuels.
It goes across.
Destroys the entire atmosphere.
Well, that. There is that. But the main issue with the pipeline wasn't so much the removal of the oil as it was the fact that it's above the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes across the entire Alaska, which means that, like, caribou and different types of animals that have migration patterns, it affects their migration patterns because they can't go where they want to go. Like they could normally just go right across there and then they have to find spots where they can go. So That's kind of the main thing.
Have you ever performed for a Native American crowd?
I have not.
No.
I have not, but I would be terrified to.
You would be.
Oh, the experience I had of extreme, like prejudice against me was with Native people in Canada on my way to Alaska. We stopped to camp at a campground and we didn't stop to think that it was Canada Day weekend that weekend.
Okay.
It was like July 1st. So we got to the campground where we just figured no problem. We hadn't made a reservation or anything. And the ranger was like, oh no, we're packed. We have a music festival going on. He goes, but this one campground has just come back under Native control, so I'm sure that they would have you, you know, they're having a powwow and stuff. So we're like, cool.
Cool, let's go interrupt that.
So we go, and they took our money, and they gave us a campsite, and then we were like, cool, powwow. We go down there to that powwow, and it was like, I've never had the experience where a whole group of, like, at least 300 people will not acknowledge your existence on the planet. Like no eye contact, just like, it was insane. And then, so we sat there for like 12 minutes and watched the dancers, and it was just so painfully clear that we were not welcome, that we went back to our campsite.
You tried to offer in some Molsons?
I had some blankets on one arm, you know.
The natives all had bitter beer face watching them.
That's interesting.
But we went back to our campsite, and then even like that night, they were coming around our campsite and making like animal noises, like trying to scare us away.
Really?
Yeah, it was crazy. We got up.
What kind of animal?
As early as we could.
Was it like caribou or what? I don't even know what that is, but.
No,
not like, caribou.
They're... Oh, my dear God, the caribou are coming. No, it was like cougar noises. Like, they were going like, wow, you know. Like,
oh.
It was like, we knew
so
it
like
wasn't.
Middle-aged women from PB noises.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
So were you afraid,
over.
Or could you tell it was them doing it?
No, we knew it was them, because we'd been camping the whole way up
look
there.
Look up here, look up here, look up here.
I think those are people. Wow.
Well, comics talk caribou today.
Comics talk caribou. That's awesome.
Is there any comedy at all in Alaska?
There is. Yeah. There
just not at the powwows, right?
Right. You don't want to show up at the powwow
fairly
and
serious
start
event.
Doing your jokes. Oh, goodness. No.
So did you, I mean, bringing it back to comedy in San Diego, did you feel accepted by the community pretty soon?
Or did they treat you like the natives?
Yeah,
what was your first experience?
That's what's been amazing.
Any comics calling out caribou sounds while you're on stage to try to scare you off?
Gordon Downs is outside of your tent going,
No, it's been fantastic. This has been, I keep telling my friends back home, like, you have no idea how amazingly accepted, like, I feel and how, just like one of the gang right away. Mm. Like, it's really cool.
Pretty good bunch.
I don't know for sure that would be everyone's experience. I think
if you're friendly, that's the experience in general.
Right.
If you just come in and don't act like a douche.
Yeah.
If you're just nice, people are nice back here. That's what I found.
Yeah, I think, and you've hung out at shows. You don't just do your set and leave.
Yeah.
I think you've been open and nice, and it's kind of hard to reject someone that's nice.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's more like the competitive nature of guys, but I think as a woman, do you feel it was easier to transition into that, or sometimes do you feel it's harder that way?
I feel like for some women it would be harder. A woman who was like stunningly attractive would probably have a much harder time than someone like me who's more like, I'm not going to say frumpy. I'm not going to go that far and call myself that. But someone who's less intimidating appearance-wise probably is going to have an easier time because most of the guys are intimidated by really gorgeous women. Mm. So even if they're funny and they're a comic, it just wouldn't work the same. Right. But that's just what I've seen. So, I don't know from experience. I'm not stunningly attractive.
There's so few women in the scene, you'd think it would be stupid to be intimidated by any.
Well, we'll hear more with Emily. You're listening to WSRadio.com. What will I lean on? I'll talk to you back in 3 minutes, Buck.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Final segment. So are you working now, Emily?
Yeah, I just started working this last week. I had training for a temp position in a call center.
Okay, so you're not with Merrill Lynch anymore?
No, I haven't been for a long time.
Okay, got out of that racket.
Yeah.
So you found it's a 9-to-5 kind of thing?
The call center?
Yeah.
No, it's, I put in that I was available from 1 a.m. until 5 p.m. every day. Mm-hmm. And I got my schedule yesterday, and they've definitely taken advantage of that entire time frame because like one day I'm working in the day, and then the next day I'm working in the night. But
what are they doing open at 1 a.m.?
Yeah, who are you calling?
Well, it's not calling out.
Okay.
It's customer service for proflowers.com. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Proflowers. That's delivering flowers?
They deliver flowers.
And they need a lot of customer service to figure that out?
Through Valentine's season.
I see.
Yeah, because...
And they call you at 1 in the morning about flowers?
Apparently they must call there. Yeah. I haven't started that yet because I just had the training, but...
Maybe they're calling from different time zones.
Well, that's it. Yeah, yeah, they're worldwide, so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's also Sherry's Berries. I don't know if you've ever heard some of the guys around here talk about Sherry's Berries.
What is that?
This guy's going crazy about Sherry's Berries one night.
It's just chocolate-covered berries, right?
Yeah, they're strawberries and other fruit and stuff that they cover with chocolate.
Mm.
So what's a typical week for you now, comedy-wise? You're trying to get up almost every night?
I'm trying to get up as much as I can, yeah. It usually ends up that I'm able to get on, or at least try to get on. You know, like ACC, you're not sure you're going to get on.
Mm-hmm.
At least 6 nights. Saturday has been my bugaboo because it's just the only mic I know of on Saturdays is the one that's tonight at Heart Lounge, but that's only once a month.
Okay.
So
I'm not even aware of that. What is Heart Lounge?
Where's I think that? It's mostly a music open mic, though, huh?
Well, Friday nights, it's a mixed mic, but on one Saturday, the last
Men
Saturday
and women,
of the month, it's, yeah,
it's allowed.
And they allow all races.
Good mic.
But on one Saturday, the last Saturday of the month, Cameron Frost hosts it, and it's a comedy mic.
Okay.
Yeah, and you have to be clean on the Friday mic, but the Saturday mic, you don't.
Okay. Have you gone to the Friday mic?
I have gone to the Friday mic.
How is it?
I liked it a lot. They were really warm to me, but, I have heard other guys say, like, they don't like it because A, you have to be clean,
mm-hmm.
and B, like.
Do you work clean a lot?
I try to always keep my mind towards clean. Like, I always, when
Your
I'm working
monologue?
On.
Internal monologue?
I try
don't
to
think
keep
dirty
myself
thoughts.
Pure. No, but as far as my material, I always try to think, like, when I'm working on a bit, okay, what would I change to make this a clean bit?
Mm-hmm.
I always like to have bits where the premise or the underlying thing isn't something that's not clean,
mm-hmm.
but just what makes it not clean is, you know, basically my sailor mouth. And and so if I can just control the sailor mouth,
uh-huh.
I can change a lot of stuff to be pretty clean.
Okay.
And you know, I clean is such a tricky deal because... Clean can mean no swears, or clean can mean regards to content, and you never really know when someone tells you, like, we're clean. You got to kind of, like, investigate that,
mm-hmm.
because some things can be no swears at all, but super foul, just nasty, nasty stuff.
Right.
And then some things can be, like, totally a lot of swears, but, like, harmless, like, very, very innocent.
Yeah.
So, I find it interesting that some people really think if you just don't swear, you're clean. And it's like, well, it just depends on what the person wants for that.
That's yeah. true.
Have you done Lestat's on a Monday?
Yes, I've done it once.
Okay.
And I liked it. I enjoyed it. I've talked with Jennifer Churchill about this because she does a lot of those mixed mics where there's musicians. And we both kind of think, and I feel this is true, musicians can often be very good audiences for comedy because as performers themselves, they're very aware of what it takes to get up there and perform. And because they have written down songs and, you know, that to rely on while they're on stage, they kind of look at us as, like, amazing people. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had a lot of musicians say, my God, I don't know how you just go up there and just say things.
They do. They
say
that a lot.
Well, it's always the old adjective that comics want to be rock stars and rock stars want to be comics.
That's right.
You know, so I haven't done the stats on a Monday in, like, a few years, but I remember the last time I did it was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that's weird is they cut the comics down to 5 minutes, but they're not really that like, all right, get off, you know, so they're pretty open with the timing thing. But,
what's the Tuesday mic now? Is there a Tuesday mic somewhere?
Open mic?
Yeah. Not really.
The Palace.
Palace does Tuesday.
Palace?
Yeah. Palace and Peabody's in Encinitas.
And Peabody's. And then Wednesday is
ACC.
ACC. You did that one.
And Spacebar the second and fourth.
And which Salty Frog on the other Wednesdays, too.
And then Thursday?
I don't think there's anything on Thursday.
Nothing on Thursday?
Thursday, yeah, Shooters.
Oh, Shooters. Oh, and Kumite, too.
And Kumite, yeah.
And then Friday is Winston's?
Winston's and I guess Heart Lounge.
And then Heart Lounge.
Man. Yeah.
Saturday, there's nothing.
It's a good scene. Nothing on Saturday. Why is there no open mics on Saturday?
We got. I don't know why one of the clubs don't do a 5 o'clock open mic.
5 o'clock.
Why not? I mean, the Palace should do it because sometimes they have those charity shows at 5
they
o'clock.
They do have those.
They
could use the second room, too. They have the second
room. They have that back room, which they could do it. I mean, they're there anyways. Why not have a mic? You have comics, maybe buy a couple of things.
Yeah, that won't happen.
I think in the case of, like, ACC, it would be, like, because of the staff. They wouldn't want to have staff there.
I think that's probably the same there. I mean, at the Palace.
Well, the Palace doesn't have a staff.
Yeah, but you'd have to pay someone to be there and open.
But there's
this
bartender. No, the restaurant's open anyways.
Yeah, that's the thing. Day, the though, Palace is a restaurant anyways, so that's...
Yeah, but I think they only open when they have to. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Well, but whatever. A Saturday mic would be good, though, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Saturday is the toughest day to get a gig anywhere. You know, you
get a
gig
everywhere
else.
Well, it's the
easiest
place to get a gig, but to get mic time, I think it's the hardest.
I think even getting gigs on Saturday
is tough.
It's
like Saturday is a working night. Like, I've always... If I have something to do on a Saturday, I'm like, no, I'm a comic. Yeah.
I guess the same way.
Yeah.
Well, we are coming up towards the end. It's kind of the questions we always ask. What's the worst show you've ever had?
All right. Well, hands down, the worst show I've ever had was also a mixed mic in Grand Rapids, which was run gong show style, where they had handbells on all the tables. And if three people rang the bell, you had to get off stage. And of course, you know, that makes sense in some ways because some of those poems and songs can get very long. But what happened was I had no sooner walked up there and was putting the mic stand against the wall when one of the hosts of the show who was blacked out drunk whipped the bell at me and hit me in the back of the head, causing a concussion.
What?
Yeah.
How big is that bell?
It's not that big, but it has sharp edges, and he threw it from a very short distance with force, and my back was turned.
And it hit you right in the back of the head.
And it hit me right on the back of the head.
Did he have a problem with you?
I didn't even realize what had happened. Really? I thought a lot of different things had happened than what really happened.
Did it knock you out?
I didn't fall down or anything, but I was confused. Like, I was extremely confused. And then the other guy that runs the show, like, the people in the crowd were like, he threw the bell at you. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And the other guy was like, just do your set. And I'm like, okay. You know, because you know how, like, a football player will still play when he has a concussion because he just doesn't realize. Like, he's so confused.
Did you have a problem with this guy?
No.
He was just drunk.
Yeah, he just didn't like white ladies. I'd heard him do a lot of poems about how much he hated white ladies.
Was this a Native American guy?
Actually,
at the powwow. This was at the powwow,
was
wasn't
the powwow.
It? You tried to do 3 minutes at the powwow.
I don't know why I tried to do comedy at the powwow.
So did you get gonged off?
I walked away when he threw water in my face after...
What? The same guy threw water in your face after hitting you with a bell?
Yeah.
And they still didn't throw him out?
And
this was at the Palace, wasn't it?
It's George.
They don't throw anyone else out.
All right. Well, that's probably the worst one we've heard
so far. That's the worst so far.
Concussion.
Yeah. What's the best show you've had?
Probably the best show I've had is always the last show I've had. That's how I feel about it.
Unless that was your last show, and then that wouldn't have been.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything
yeah.
would have been better.
Every show since then is my best show. Let's put it that
what's
way.
What's the most time you've ever done on a show?
The most time I've ever done on a show is about 18 or 20.
Okay. Is that a headlining spot?
It was a spot where she had put together a showcase of like four female comics, and we all got 20.
How do you feel about those kinds of shows?
Sometimes they can be fantastic.
All right. Where can we find you?
You can find me at Emily Hope Allen on Twitter or Emily H. Allen on Facebook.
All right. Listen to WSRadio.com. Be back in...